God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Mark 10. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Dear friends in Christ, it's almost 0 hour, and Jesus is marching to Jerusalem, charting a fast course to Calvary. Whether it looks like it or not, he is the king, and he is marching to his victory. For the third time, Jesus declares his battle plan to the disciples. We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priest, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, whip him, crucify him, and kill him, but on the third day he will rise again. This is the battle plan for Christ's victory for you and me. But guess what James and John are concerned about? Jesus' betrayal and suffering? No. Getting caught in the crossfire? No. Jesus' death and resurrection? No. They think Jesus is going to be a great earthly king and bring in his kingdom by force, and they want positions of power. So while Jesus is focused on suffering and dying for the life of the world, they're jockeying for earthly fame and glory. James and John still don't have a clue what Jesus' kingdom is all about. That without Jesus' blood appeasing God's wrath, there's no grace, no life, no glory. Still, their focus is on the seating arrangements. We want your top cabinet positions, one at your right and one at your left, Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. They just don't get it. The positions at Jesus' right and left are two crosses on Calvary's Hill. But don't be too hard on James and John. The truth is, the same sin dwells in each of us. While Jesus is focused on bleeding and dying, we're oftentimes focused on shopping and buying. While Jesus is focused on suffering and death, we're often focused on TikTok and sports. So while Jesus is focused on serving and saving a lost world, James and John are focused on fame and status and power. Teacher, we want you to give us whatever we ask of you. So Jesus plays along. What is it you want me to do? They answer, grant us to sit, one at your right and one at your left in your glory. Here's our resumes. After all, Jesus, you owe us. We left the family fishing business to follow you, and that should count for something, right? Wrong. Our place in Jesus' kingdom is only by grace, undeserved love, unmerited favor. No bartering, bribing, or buttering up Jesus. Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Your idea of glory means box seats in the owner's suite in a kingdom that you think will be like a Shangri-La. Jesus says, that's not my glory or my kingdom. My glory is to be betrayed, flogged, crucified, endure hell, and die on a cross for the life of the world. That's my glory. We often think Jesus' greatest glory will be when he comes again in majesty with all the angels and we see his face shining like the sun and his body exuding light. Now that will be glorious and majestic, but that's not Jesus' greatest glory. For without his dying on the cross, you and I could never see Jesus in his resurrected glory or dwell with him in his heavenly glory. That's why Jesus' suffering and death are his greatest glory. In John 12, Jesus calls his being nailed to the cross, Jesus calls it the hour of my glory. As Jesus suffers, bleeds, and dies on the cross, this is the greatest display of the love of his heart for the life of the world that you will ever see. As Jesus breathes his last and bows his head in death, he is defeating sin, death, hell, and devil with overwhelming weakness that lets himself die. And when he cries, it is finished, and bows his head in death, however, he does become our great champion and savior For this is a war in which dying wins. Thus, Jesus is most victorious in death. He is most loving in his death. He is most saving in his death. We are most victorious in his death. Which is why the Father calls Jesus Lord, precisely because he lays down his life on the cross. Philippians 2, he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' greatest glory, through which you and I receive our greatest glory, is his death, by which we receive forgiveness, life, resurrection, and heaven. James and John are looking for the red carpet treatment and box seats in the owner's suite. Be careful what you ask for. Jesus says, "Can you drink the cup I drink?" Jesus' cup is not a crystal glass of fine Cabernet or sweet Passover wine. The cup Jesus drinks is a bitter cup, filled with the sour wine of God's wrath. Jesus has come to drink the cup of God's crushing. In fact, only Jesus can drink this cup and make it back out of death and hell alive. Thankfully, Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath to its dregs, and in return, he gives us the new wine of his forgiving blood. His death is his greatest glory, through which we receive our greatest glory. Jesus' blood is our very access into God's grace, God's family, and God's forever home. Next, Jesus asks, "Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" Jesus' baptism that he's referring to was not a relaxing bubble bath, but a stepping into the sewer of our sin. That was his baptism at the Jordan. His baptism was not a refreshing dip in a hot tub at a spa. Jesus had two baptisms. In his baptism in the Jordan, he was baptized into our sin and our death, from which he marched to Calvary to be baptized in blood. Where does the Bible say that? Revelation 19, this very same John, who in our text is looking for the red carpet treatment, after the resurrection, and he now understands what Jesus' glory is all about. But then he tells us in Revelation 19, he was wearing a robe baptized in blood, drenched in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Jesus faced a baptism none of us could ever face and make it out alive. He was drenched with his own blood on the cross of God's crushing. So what is your sin and mine, especially in view of James and John's request? Like James and John, we also suffer from what I'll call me-first-itis. What is often the farthest from our mind is to serve others as Jesus served us, or to lay down our lives in service to Jesus so others can be saved. Our sin is when we glory in ourselves rather than in Christ crucified and Christ risen for the life of the world. Our sin is when my best three friends are me, myself, and I. When the greatest sight I've ever seen is my own reflection. When the wisest words I've ever heard come from my mouth. When the nicest person I've ever met is myself. When the only God I worship is the one I see standing in front of a full-length mirror. Our sin is when we forget the depth of our sin from which God rescued us and the height of glory that Jesus died to give us. As a result of our quest for our own glory, we have little or no concern for the lost and the dying. Life is all about me. Our sin is when we think that others are below us and serving others is beneath us. Ours is the sin of pride and conceit. Pride is when I tell others how great I am, and conceit is when I tell myself how great I am. And these sins lead to an inglorious life and an inglorious death. You see, when we're so full of ourselves that we don't have any room left for Jesus, we run the risk of losing what is real glory, the glory that can save us, the all-forgiving death of Jesus Christ, who came to earth not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. If the truth be told, we are the source of Jesus' sufferings. We are the cause of Christ's death. We are the ones who hammered the nails. The only cure for me firstitis is the forgiving blood of Jesus. It's at the cross that we see with terrifying clarity what God thinks of our sin. You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, at the cross may view it rightly. There its guilt may estimate. But it's also at the cross that Jesus shows us what God thinks of sinners. For as Jesus hangs bleeding and dying on the cross for the life of the world, we see the clearest picture of the love of our Heavenly Father's heart for you and me. The cross is the evidence that you matter to God. The cross is the source of your peace with God. But when we're so full of ourselves that Jesus no longer holds the center position in our lives, we run the risk of losing Jesus' glorious death that has saved us. Has saved us. How could we be so wrong? We're so fixated on earthly glory, that's why. Fame, money, power, status, reputation, friends, possessions, looks, that we rarely have a clue about what true glory is. Jesus reveals true glory as he enters into our valley of the shadow of death, to breathe our poisoned air, to run redemption's race, to throw himself on the hand grenade of God's wrath, and to pour out his life, seeking what is lost, wanting what is last, healing what is sick, welcoming what is untouchable, helping what is helpless, forgiving what is sinful, fixing what is broken, saving what is damned, and raising what is dead. Jesus' cross is where true glory is, where we see true glory, and where true glory comes from. Real glory is finally only found in the incredible love of Jesus, who not only saves us from all of our enemies, but whose blood sets us free to be people of God, sons and daughters of the King, now set free to love as Jesus loves, forgive as Jesus forgives, and serve as Jesus serves. In other words, since this is how loved I am, that God nailed his own son to the tree to set me and the whole world free from the shackles of sin, the prison of death, the wrath of hell, and the tyrannizing of the devil, I don't need to waste my time trying to impress others or achieving my own glory. For in Jesus, we are given his entire forgiveness, total restoration, a new identity as God's child, and never-ending life in a paradise that is greater than we ever dared to dream, where we will know and have the fullness of joy and pleasure in the presence of God. That's true glory. In Jesus, I don't need to convince myself or others how good I am, for God himself tells me the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses me from all my sin, from all sin. In Jesus, I don't need to impress myself or others as to how important I am. And the God of the universe tells me that I am just as much his child as his own son Jesus, and that I possess God's entire kingdom just as much as his own son Jesus, and that I reign with Jesus now and forever. In Jesus, I don't need to persuade others how righteous I am, for the Lord himself has covered me with the entire righteousness of Christ, so that I am as beautiful to the Father as his own son. Romans 3, but now a righteousness from God is given. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus to all who believe. As a result, Jesus is my goodness, my status, my power, my righteousness, my identity, my riches, my treasure, my pleasure, my glory, and my all in all. And now all that we are and have in Jesus changes us. Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ. That means I, the sinner. And I, the sinner, no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is, me, a new creation. Therefore, the life I live in the body, I no longer live for myself or my own glory, status, and recognition, but I live it for Him who loved me and gave Himself up for me. In Jesus, I now consider no one below me and no act of service to Jesus or my neighbor as beneath me. 1 John 4, we love because He first loved us. If you want to see greatness in the kingdom of God, don't look high, look low. To a Savior who washes sinners' feet with water, washes away all our sins with blood. If you want to see true greatness in God's kingdom, don't look high, look low. To a Savior who carries the cross to Golgotha, where He's nailed to a tree, so that we don't have to keep nailing ourselves for our own sins. If you want to know true greatness in God's kingdom, don't look high, look low. To a Savior who lays aside all the perks and privileges of heaven and comes to earth, not to rub our sins in, but to rub them out. If you want to see true glory, don't look high, look low to the Savior who eats with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, wannabes, and bids everyone from the least, the last, the lost, and the lonely, lowly, to share the forgiving feast of His body and blood. In the end, Jesus is our all in all. Any glory you have outside of Jesus will end at the grave. But Jesus gives us the greatest glory in His kingdom, where the first, where the last are first, the least are most, the lost are found, the lowly are exalted, the grieving rejoice, the sick are made whole, sinners are declared righteous, the dead are raised to life, and undeserving sinners are given access into our Heavenly Father's good graces, both now and forevermore, at the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. There, my friends, is true glory.